our New Testament lessons this morning. The first one is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. This is our epistle lesson this morning. Hear now the word of our Lord. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Jesus Christ. Now we move to the gospel lesson from Matthew. This is very familiar. You are the salt of the earth, but the salt loses its saltiness. How can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, that until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you certainly will not enter the kingdom of heaven. This was radical. I'm sorry, this is the word of our Lord. Glory to God. This was radical teaching by Jesus. He was telling the people that if all you're striving to do is be like the Pharisees and the scribes and the leaders of the synagogue, forget it. You're not going to be blessed in heaven. You have to surpass them because they don't see and they don't hear. Our lesson from Corinthians talks about Paul coming to the people of Corinth and explaining to them that he did not come with them with great words and great worldly wisdom. The people of Corinth were mostly of the Greek culture. They were not of the Jewish culture. They were Greek and Gentile and Roman. And the most valued thing to the Greek culture, and that's not wasn't limited to Greece. Greece, the Greek culture dominated Rome, dominated that whole part of the world. The thing that they wanted to hear all the time was something new. Some new idea, some new wisdom. There were so many philosophers in that day that everybody could almost have their own philosophy. And Paul said, I'm not coming to you with worldly wisdom. I'm not coming to you with these great words and great ideas. I'm coming to you with the simple truth of the Holy Spirit. And those are the kind of words that Jesus came and spoke. He said, you are the salt of the world. You are the light. Now Jesus did not say, the people of God are the light. The people of God are the salt. He didn't say the people of the church are the light or the people of the church are the salt. He didn't say this to the disciples, that you are the salt and the light. You remember, this is the Sermon on the Mount. He has thousands of people amassed. He's on the mountain. He came and he's talking to the people. And he said to the people, you are the light. You are the salt. Paul was talking in the book of Corinthians to people who were maturing in their faith. He says that. You are the mature. People who were seeking a closeness with the Holy Spirit. He knew that only those people could hear the word and understand. And he said that the people who had crucified Christ, the people who refused to understand and believe, would not hear. I've been involved in a big land development deal for many years where I live, and sometimes you run up against this wall called the bureaucracy, called the local government, who just, and you go in there and you tell them this, and they come back the same thing over and over and over again. One of the lawyers For my client came up to me. He says, Bill, I don't understand. He said, What is it that they're getting at? He said, we've shown them everything. We've shown them the law. We've shown them the state law, the federal law. We've shown them the local ordinance. We've shown them how this has to be. And yet, they're just intransigent. I said, Bob, the problem is that they have decided not to understand. Sometimes it's in our interest to decide not to understand. We can act like these words of Jesus Christ and Paul are very mysterious words that have no effect on our lives at all because they're inconvenient words. They require us to change. They require us to give up things that we have held on to. They require us to not do things that we've done. They require us to re-look at people in our lives, to look at them anew. And when we don't do that, we simply have decided not to understand. Hearing without understanding. Eyes that do not see. They use all these metaphors, and really what this is getting at is that people have decided not to hear. People have decided not to see the truth. Now, we've talked about salt and light from this pulpit before. I say we. I've talked about this. I don't have a mouse in my pocket. I've talked about the salt and light before, probably more than you want to hear, about how you're the salt and the light, and you go out and you flavor the community. We've talked about how when you add too much salt to the soup, you can't stand it. You know what? It's good for nothing, and you throw it out. Just like no salt, it's not worth anything. So the right amount of salt is appropriate. We've talked about that. But I want to talk to you about something different today. You heard the old adage, charity starts at home. Well, brothers and sisters, salt and light start at home. You cannot hope to be successful in reaching out to others in the community. You cannot hope to be successful in reaching out and helping your brothers and sisters come to a closer relationship with God, to have a better relationship with other brothers and sisters in Christ, if you haven't done it first at home. Now that's not easy. It's so much easier to go out and talk to somebody about their salvation, about their relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, somebody that you hardly know. My goodness, you could talk to a taxi cab driver about it forever. No one has a problem proselytizing to a taxi cab driver or somebody that you just happen to be with that you won't likely not see again. But to talk about this to your wife, your husband, your son, your daughter, your mother, your father is tough. Is this one of the things that we've decided not to understand? It's too difficult, so we put it aside. I propose to you that it is so crucial to have this godly relationship in our homes, because we cannot be effective out in the world when we haven't got it at home. And yet, when we have this at home, it supports our ministry to the world. Only then can you be the salt and light in the community. Only when you're sharing the salt and light with one another. Let's talk about salt and light. Why in the world would Jesus use salt? I mean, you can go to the store, you can pick up a box of salt for, what does it cost now? 75 cents? Used to cost 13 cents. But you can pick up a bag of salt for a few dollars, a big bag. Well, you could not do this. To the people Jesus was talking to could not do this. Salt was precious, it was hard to come by, and without it, life could not be sustained. They depended on salt to salt their fish so they would have something to eat in all seasons. To salt their meat. Why? Because salt is a preservative. Jesus used the word salt because it preserves us from decay. It is you carrying the word to your families that preserves them from decay. There are people who will set up emergency go bags and everything in case everything gets bad. They have food and excess food and water and stuff in a secure place in their home and things to go, and maybe guns and ammunition and knives and backpacks and all this stuff. And they won't preserve their family with the salt of the word of our Lord. The salt preserves. It protects us from decay. You need to dwell in the Word every day. Every day, read the Word of God every day. Share the Word of God with your family every day. Salt preserves. Salt flavors. You've eaten food that everything that just had absolutely no salt in it, and it just tastes like nothing. You might eat it to get the nutrition, but it certainly doesn't feel like anything to you. Salt flavors. Carrying the Holy Spirit to your families gives meaning, gives sustenance. It makes a difference. It makes all the difference. We need to start with the flavor of salt in our families. Most of us grew up and everything knowing that if you stepped on a nail, besides getting a tetanus shot, you had to soak your feet in Epsom salt. If you had a sore, you would soak it in salt water. If you have a mouth sore, you rinse with salt water. Your dentist today still may tell you to do this. Salt heals. You need the healing of salt, the word of the Lord in your families. There's wounds that need to be healed. That cousin you haven't talked to for decades because the way that he talked at her funeral, the things he took out of the house without asking, the things that she said, salt heals. If you have the salt and carry it to your families, one of the things that Jesus requires of you is that you be a person involved in healing. Our families need healing. Our families need the flavor of Christianity, of the Lord, of the Holy Spirit. Our families need the preservation. And Jesus called us the light of the world. He said, a light hidden under a basket does no good. Let the light be shown so that all can see the light. What do we know about light? We know that light is a beacon, a lighthouse, a candle in a window, a front door light. We'll keep the light on for you. It's a welcoming thing. It's a place to go. It's some place safe. To come out of the darkness, to come into the light, to get under the street light where no one will harm you. Light is safety. Light is refuge. If you are going to be the light of the world, you first must be the place of refuge in your family. Not the place of trouble, not the place of accusations, not the place of judgment, the place of refuge, of safety. But light is revealing. When we come into the light, we can see the truth. Light is revealing. When we shine the light upon our families, it's not so pretty. Sometimes, when we shine the light upon things we've done in the past, maybe things that we're doing still, it's not so pretty. Because light is revealing. And Jesus calls you to be the light. But before we can carry that light in the world, we have to carry that light to our families. Light is hope. The light at the end of the tunnel. The light of day, the light of morning, the sunshine rising after a hard, cold night. Light is hopeful. You need to carry the light of hope to your families. You need to be the light of hope to your families. As we journey in this journey to Christian maturity and to faith, the thing that we have to remember is that we have to be the light, and we have to start at home. We can't go out into the community carrying what we didn't share at home. And why the light and salt? Because the light and the salt bring about change. When there is light, behavior changes. When there is light, words change. When there is light, we think differently than we do in the dark. When there is salt and the flavor and the preservation, salt changes things. It preserves them. It flavors them. It changes things. The Lord has told you that you are His agents of change. Not the disciples, not the preachers, not the people of great knowledge and wisdom. Paul said that's of no value. Paul said it is the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. It is the guidance of our Lord that will change things. All the philosophers, all the people with the great words and the great speech will not change things. It is you, the light and the salt, the wisdom, the revelation, the safety, the comfort, the hope, and the flavor that will change things in your homes, with your families and your friends, and so that you will not go out into the world to spread the light and the salt alone, so that you will have support, you will have encouragement. So that your family will have support. Your family will have encouragement. No, don't take this on alone. Bring your family. Teach your family. Heal your family. Reach out to your family first. Our families are such an important part. And it doesn't matter what they've ever done. It doesn't matter what they haven't done or what they said or what they didn't say. And it doesn't matter how long it's been. And this is true for marriages, for many of us who've been married many, many years, for decades, and for those who are recently married. Share this with them. Help them to understand that it's their faithful, God-fearing, loving relationships that you can take into the world and show the light and the salt. So often, the light and the salt is totally lost simply through selfishness. Simply for us thinking of ourselves. That's one of the things that we fail to give up, is self. It gets in the way. Let me tell you that putting yourselves first immediately throws a basket over the light. When we put ourselves first, immediately the salt has lost its taste. So reach out to your families, but it means that we have to give up something. We have to give up self. We have to put forward the love of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, and we have to dwell in the Word. And then we can experience the salt and we can experience the light in our families. And then we can be rich as we go out into the communities and share this with the world. Amen.